welcome to the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the show. I got to put some trouble in it. I'm a little bit high in the microphone. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. I am a stand-up comedian based out of Seattle, Washington, and this is the Last Show Podcast. I host this chia podcast once, two, three times a week, depending on how I feel. How you feel? Really, how you feel? You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. Please subscribe to the show. Please, please, please. Leave a review, too. I don't even know if you have to, but I mean, I guess it'd be nice. Every time I listen to a podcast, they're like, hey, leave a review. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big Yelp column. Because everybody and their mama got a podcast. And we'll get to everybody and their mama later on. Make sure you go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. That's KORTNEYShaneWilliams.com. See where I'm performing my stand-up comedy. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I'm at Naked City Brewery. My show, my monthly show that I produce, it's me, it's Drew Barth, it's Alicia Wood, it's Travis Nelson, Dustin Hempstead should be coming by, it's Greg Beechler. We're going to have a dope time and a dope show. Get your tickets. I'm going to try to get this out. See, now this is putting the pressure on me. I got to try to put this podcast out like today. So I'm going to try to get this podcast out. You guys, please get tickets, standupstyle.brownpapertickets.com. If you missed the show, tickets for next month's show, March 3rd, are on sale now. And that show is loaded as well. I got a couple people visiting from New York, Albert Kirshner. I got Jeff Lott. We got Andrew Rivers. Thomas Nichols. Like, the shows are loaded. It's the first Saturday of every month I get down to Naked City Brewery. And a matter of fact, the show tonight is almost sold out. So by the time you hear this, there may be no tickets left. And for that, you know, hey man, you don't move your feet. You move your feet, you lose your seat. Is that how it goes? Or if you don't eat, move your feet. If you don't move your feet, I don't eat. So we like neck to neck. Or is that Outkast? I mean, I don't know which one it is. But you move them too slow. Yeah, right now there's like three tickets left for the night show, so good luck. In the words of Liam Neeson, good luck. So this is the Last Show Podcast. Welcome. My name is Courtney Shane Williams, and this show has been taken over this week, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. This is officially the Quincy Jones Show. Play his music.
Doctors, those that'll tell don't know, and those that know won't tell.
In honor of Quincy Jones, shooting off Quincy Jones. I mean, look, man, somebody said Quincy Jones had an article. I was like, all right, cool, I'll get to it when I get to it. And if you ain't read the Quincy Jones article by now, pause the podcast and go to vulture.com. And you thinking, vulture? I'm not in the market for a bird. Hey, look, man, that's when Quincy Jones got loose. All right? When you get loose, you can't get loose on Yahoo. You can't go out here and get loose for the New Yorker. No, you got to go to vulture.com. Some BuzzFeed. You know, you got to go off the grid. That's when Quincy got loose. Because the game is to be sold and not told, and you ain't paid that man nothing. Quincy Jones, in honor of him, don't get jammed up. We start the show. Now, I shouldn't be telling Quincy Jones anything about getting jammed up. From the reading of that article, Quincy Jones need to tell me not to get jammed up. Matter of fact, I don't even know no Quincy Jones. I know a Yinqing Sonays. I don't know no Quincy Jones. I know a Yancy Sonays. I don't even know if that's the way you said it. My brother's better than that than I am. But I don't know who Quincy Jones is. But the article I read on Vulture had somebody, Quincy, quoted. And Quincy was shooting, what did Ghostface call him? Poison darts. those are the kind of darts that could kill an elephant. I mean, that's when you go out to the Serengeti, all right? They taking down lions with poison darts. Like Quincy Jones gave them the vulture.com. Quincy Jones jammed up. Look, man, I don't even know where to start. Quincy Jones knows way too much information. To quote the great Quincy Jones, I will say this. The man said, it's because, no, the man asked him about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons. He said, look, it's because there's a side of her. When you keep secrets, they backfire. And the man said, like what secrets? This is something else I shouldn't be talking about. Now, Quincy tried to let you know, you gonna get me jammed up. I shouldn't be talking about this. This is something I shouldn't be talking about. And the man said, you sure seem to know a lot. I know too much, man. That's another pushback. Quincy told you I shouldn't be talking about this. Then he hit you with, hey, I know too much, man. And the guy follows up like a great journalist that works for Vulture.com with you. What's something you wish you didn't know, Quincy? Who killed Kennedy? What? Excuse me? like JFK? Like you've been sitting on this information for 40 years? Like, you know who killed Kennedy? Not like conspiracy theorists, I know who killed Kennedy. You know, not like, hey, I think I know who stole your wife. Like, if I say I know who killed Kennedy, and you're Quincy, I think you know. And then this is how I know he knows who killed Kennedy. Now, I don't know who. Quincy Jones is a nice man. Quincy Jones wrote a lot of good songs. Quincy Jones worked with Michael Jackson. Quincy Jones wrote the theme music for one of my favorite shows, Sanford and Son. I don't know. This is a different guy that was in this article, man. This is Yancey. I don't know. So I don't know what he knew. But all I know is the man said, I know who killed JFK. And the reporter followed up and said, who? And this guy in the article said, Sam, some mobster or some mafia connection with Kennedy and Joe Kennedy and all this stuff. Bars. Not only that, the man knew not to go too far, because every time he got too deep, he went and he would throw him off the scent, man. He would throw him off the scent. He said, that's what he said. I'm reading the article now, just to refresh. Every time he dropped the ball, he'd throw him off the scent. One time he said, when he talked about who killed Kennedy, he said, my man in the mafia killed Kennedy. He said, you know, about getting votes. And he said, I've heard that theory. And then Quincy said, you know what? We shouldn't talk about this publicly. Where are you from? You just told me you knew who killed JFK, and you followed that up with, where are you from? Like, because that's the natural thing you say when you don't want to get jammed up. Now, he didn't want to get jammed up later on. It was the thing that probably made the most news is when my man said he knew Marlon Brando had sex with Richard Pryor. Now, this does not shock me or surprise me, because I, my friend, have read the Richard Pryor book. And if you're squeamish, not even squeamish, but if you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, Richard Pryor, I don't know why he would do such a thing. Look here, man, you read that book, that is the least surprising thing, him having sex with Marlon Brando. But my man Quincy went deeper. I'm gonna take it deep, Outcast style, Barry Bonds with it. Yeah, man, Marlon Brando used to go doing cha-cha dancing with us. Now, we didn't need to know Marlon Brando did cha-cha dancing. That's Quincy letting you know I'm about this life. I know what Brando used to do, and Brando liked the cha-cha. Yeah, man, he could dance his butt off. Oh, man, he'd have sex with anything. I mean, anything. He'd have sex with a mailbox. A mailbox? You know why he said he'd have sex with a mailbox? Not for extra punch, just to let you know he's seen Marlon Brando have sex with a mailbox. Continue to get jammed up. Yeah, man, he'd have sex with anything. He'd have sex with a mailbox. James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye. What? He slept with him? How do you know that? Come on, man, he didn't care. You like Brazilian music? The who? You just told me Marlon Brando, my man that was in The Godfather, I smack you, offer his character shows. Look at me. You cry like a girl? You should act like a man. That dude had sex with James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, and Marvin Gaye. And the way you follow up is to say, do you like Brazilian music? Once again, Quincy Jones knows way too much. I did notice one thing. He wouldn't say anything about Bill Cosby. You know why? Because he got to, like, see Cosby tomorrow. like Brando, Pryor, Marvin Gaye, like, you know, JFK, you know, I mean, the Kennedy. He'll talk about a lot about a bunch of dead people, but the people he actually got to see, he was like, hey, what about Cosby? He's like, yeah, we can't talk about that. You like Brazilian music? like we ain't going down that path. I mean, Cosby got a key to my mailbox. You know, you got to keep him away from the mailbox too. You know what I mean? Slipped some purple drinks in my mailbox the other day, caught him out there in the middle of the night, had to bring him inside the house. It was really weird, but that is the way it was. So welcome to the Quincy Jones Show. It's called The Last Show because this may be it.
Oh yeah. I got the perfect song for the kids to sing.
And all my people that's drug dealing just to get by. Stack your money till it gets sky high. We weren't supposed to make it past 25. Joke's on you, we still alive. Throw your hands up in the sky and say, we don't care what people say.
If this is your thank first you for staying time, with the Last Show Podcast. It's Courtney Shane Williams. We don't care what people say. Man, I'm my own man. This is a national anthem, baby, ladies and gentlemen. Baby, what was that? That was weird. This is the national anthem, man. We don't care what people say. This is for my all son, all winner. Kanye West, the college dropout, man. This album came out 14 years ago. 14 years ago, The College Dropout. Man, time flies, man. Time flies. This, at least for me, man, this was a very important album, man. This, it's crazy. So, critical commentary. I remember this album came out in 2004. I just got out of high school a couple years fresh out of high school. Graduated in 02. Now y'all can figure out how old I am. I'm a spry 33. Crazy thing about this album though is that before that, like, it was all like hardcore rap. As a matter of fact, I wrote on the 10th anniversary, I believe, of this album. I think I wrote like a long article, and it was like the name of the article was "The Year Hip Hop Changed." I should know the name of my own article. I'm about to Google myself and my article, and maybe show up on Vulture.com. But the cool thing about this album when it came out is that it was the first thing like after gangster rap movement, the whole thing, and then Kanye West just came out with this different thing, and it wasn't like, you know, a quote-unquote thugged out in the image, I guess you would say, of rap change. The name of the article I wrote was "The 10th Anniversary of Kanye West, the College Dropout, the Year Hip-Hop Changed." You know what? I should tweet that out. I'm going to tweet that out from my account. Follow me on Twitter, at Courtney Shane. That's K-O-R-T-N-E-Y. Shane, you can get the article there, or go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. You can get the article there. So yeah, man, the cool thing about this album, man, when it came out, critical commentary, is that dude, when I heard it, I identified with everything, which is really weird. I mean, I guess it's a kid thing, you know, you maybe, I don't know if I'm trying to find direction or what, but I just identify with everything. We don't care what people say. Like, this is stuff you scream at the top of your lungs. So, like, even, like, the genius of when you put that song out and to have, like, it sounds like kids, but to have younger voices in the back and to have him saying, kids, sing. It's like the line in the song I actually hate that he does. Like, my most hated Kanye West record is Gold Digger. I hate that record. But there's a section in the record that say, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah. And he got a bunch of other dudes saying, we want prenup. Yeah. That's that thing where it's like, oh, I got this gang of people behind me that think the same way I think. So when he says, kids sing. We weren't supposed to make it past 25. Joke's on you. We still alive. Yeah, man. It's weird, man. It gives me goosebumps, man, because I felt like that was speaking for me, not even to me, which is crazy. It was speaking for me. Not that I say, obviously, I'm not, you know, I wasn't getting shot out. I was shot at like 18, and make it past 25 for me was not Chicago make it, like Southside make it. It was like suburban make it. You know what I mean? Like, how am I going to do comedy and go to college at the same time? Like, That was making it for me. Like, how am I going to work full time, go to college, do comedy, and live in my parents' house? Like, this is tough sledding, Dad. It's very tough sledding. So, like, but I, dude, that record spoke to me. And the whole album, man, it was just, and it holds up. Not the whole thing, but sections of it definitely, like, hold up. But the College Dropout, man. 14 years ago, Kanye West marks this is the week it came out. It's crazy. And now, you know, Kanye West is married to a Kardashian, you know, and he don't care what people say. I mean, man, that's just the way it is, man. This is the Last Show podcast. Thank you guys for staying with the show. The Quincy Jones Show, by the way. And speaking of the Quincy Jones Show, let's go to a diabolical hater.
Well, well, well. The most diabolical haters this side of the Mississippi.
Oh, the diabolical hater is Quincy Jones. I mean, let's be honest. Did you read the Vulture article? I mean, did you think the only thing that I was going to do is talk about the fact that he tried to sleep, or not tried to, that Marlon Brando slept with Rich Pryor? You thought that was all I was going to talk about? You thought all I was going to talk about is this JFK assassination? You thought all I was going to talk about? No, that article was full of hate. He said the Beatles wasn't that good. Now, look, I thought the Beatles was great. After I listened to Quincy spit that reel, I don't know if the Beatles were good. Said the Beatles wasn't that good, man. That's what he said. He said Jimi Hendrix was out here scared. Jimi Hendrix, the greatest guitar player that I thought ever existed. He said that dude wasn't that good. He did say he tore up that national anthem at Woodstock. He did say that. But you know, one thing also, too, is he said that Paul Allen, can play the guitar like Jimi Hendrix. Now that's just hate. Like, cause if Paul Allen could play the guitar that good, like I know he could play the guitar that good. Like Paul Allen would be in the middle of Pike Place Market slanging it. You can't tell me Paul Allen can play the guitar. He live in Seattle and then he just stood by as Nirvana blew up. Like, now I don't know about that, Quincy. That sounds like a lot of hate. Hated on Michael Jackson. He said Michael Jackson stole all his songs. He said Michael Jackson stole Billie Jean. I mean, what's next? Is Stevie Wonder didn't write songs in the key of life? Come on, man. Hate. Dude was slinging it. Paul Allen could play like Jimmy bleeping Hendrix. He said Paul McCartney wasn't nothing. He said Paul McCartney was 21. He said Paul McCartney, quote, Paul was the worst bass player I ever had. And Ringo. He's both of them. All three of y'all. No, hey, this part was the funniest part in the article. He said, I don't even want to talk about it. I remember once we were in the studio. Now, he didn't give you the line again. Once again, he told you, I don't want to get jammed up. I don't even want to talk about it. And I remember once we were in the studio, George Martin and Ringo had taken 3 hours for a 4-bar thing we was trying to fix on the song. We couldn't get it. We said, mate, why don't you go get some lager and lime, some shepherd's pie, and take a half hour and relax a little bit. Now, see, that's just hate. English people don't eat all that. I mean, but he just went there. First of all, they called you mate. I don't think people in England call you mate. I think that's like an Australian thing. Look, Quincy didn't have time to conjugate his racism. He just hit you with that reel. Hey, mate, why don't you go get you a lager and some shepherd's pie? And he goes, so he did. And we called up Ronnie Varell, a jazz drummer. He called that man Ronnie and then told you he was a jazz drummer because we don't know who the hell Ronnie is. He called up his cousin Ronnie. He came in 15 minutes, tore it up. Ringo came back and says, George, can you play it back for me one more time? So George did. And Ringo says, that doesn't sound so bad. And I said, yeah, mother bleeper, because it ain't you. He's a great guy, though. Hate. Quincy Jones, diabolical hater of a lifetime. If you haven't already, read the Vulture article, man. Name of the article is In Conversation, Quincy Jones. In my article, by the way, the 10th anniversary of Kanye West College Dropout, the year hip-hop changed. I wrote that in 2012. Well, obviously. That is weird because it said 14 years. So six. Is it 14 years? Because this is April 7th. You know what? This is not the 10th anniversary. The album did come out in 2004. It was 14 years. Man. Oh, no, 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 no. This article is wrong. I'm going to leave the title the same. I wrote this article in 2012 because I thought the album came out in 2002. But actually, the Black album came out in 2000. And... No, the Blueprint came out in 2002. Then this followed the Black album, which came out in 03. And this came out in 04. So this article is actually titled wrong, but I'm leaving the title the way it is because, you know, sometimes people make mistakes. And, you know, that's the way it should be. Anyways. Last Show Podcast, thank you for tuning in to the show. Somebody actually replied to my article. Man, they replied to my article in December, and I never got around to replying back. Hey, Lynn Reed, appreciate you reading me. all right, we've been here long enough, and y'all got other things to do, so let's just get to the Cavaliers and the trades. Ray Charles, hit the road, Jack, in honor of Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, the rest of you dudes that LeBron didn't want to play with. Hey, I'm sorry. Shannon Fry and Amon Shumpert loved you guys, man. Especially Shannon Fry. Well, both of them, man. Very influential. Amon Shumpert made one like of the biggest plays in Cavs history no one talks about in the NBA Finals that Draymond Green decided to hit LeBron James in the nuts. Thank you, Draymond Green, by the way, too. We wouldn't have a championship without you. But in honor to everybody got traded, man, look, it's very clear. Now, full disclaimer, me and my brother recorded a podcast before the trade deadline that got completely demolished. I don't know what's going on. By the way, if anybody works for Zoom, tell them to hit me up. That's right. If you work for Zoom, the recording device, like, I'm having so many problems with this doggone recorder, and I spent way too much money. Like, I need to know. Like, I'm losing so many recordings when I try to record. But me and my brother recorded a whole show. And the premise of the show, I don't want to misrepresent him, but the premise of the show is basically what's going on with the Cavs. That's after they had lost another game. And my position was, look, LeBron's strong-arming owners into basically getting rid of Isaiah Thomas. I was like, Isaiah Thomas has to go. And I've been arguing with somebody on Twitter. I forgot his name. But I've been, just go through my Twitter. I've been arguing with a dude on Twitter for like 2 weeks about Isaiah Thomas. And I always forget that I live in Seattle and everybody in Seattle is emotionally connected, probably. Well, not everybody, but people in Seattle are emotionally connected to Isaiah Thomas because he went to the University of Washington and he grew up in Seattle. I think he went to like Rainier. So I forget that. So this guy might actually know Isaiah Thomas. But he just had to go. Like, he had to go. I knew he had to go, and I don't play for the team. And truth be told, like, it got to a point with him that, like, it did not matter. So everybody's saying it's a bad trade. The Kyrie Irving trade, the Cavs lost that. Unless they have dumb luck. Like, when they traded with Baron Davis, and they got a first-round pick from the Clippers, that pick was supposed to be, like, the eighth pick in the draft. It ended up being the number one pick, and they got Kyrie Irving. So if that happens, if they draft LeBron or Kyrie, even if they draft Wiggins, okay, maybe they won the trade. But right now as we speak, like, they botched it. They did a good job recovering because basically they were at the point where, like, we've done a horrible job. What can we do now? And for some weird reason, people were there that helped the Cavs. I don't know how they pulled this off. Like, Kobe Altman, I don't know if he's, like, executive of the year, but how do you pull it off? So the Cavaliers traded everybody on the team and they got better players. They got Jordan Clarkson. They got Larry Nance. They got Rodney Hood. They got George Hill. And they gave away. This is what they traded away. They traded away Dwayne Wade. They traded away Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas. They traded away Jay Crowder, which I actually like his contract. But apparently Jay Crowder didn't like LeBron. So, you know, you got to go. That's the way it works. You don't like LeBron, you got to go. As Deion Waiters. So they traded Jay Crowder. They traded Amon Shumpert. They traded Shannon Fry. And they traded their first round pick. And they traded Dwayne Wade for nothing, basically. So basically, they traded those those four guys. Oh, Derrick Rose too. Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and Shannon Frye. Those guys and Shumpert, those guys turned into Larry Nance and Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and George Hill. They managed to get starting NBA players that can start in the NBA for nothing, for players on their bench. They did not trade one starter on their team. Now, Isaiah Thomas is, oh, he was starting. Isaiah Thomas, especially with the bum hit right now, he is a sixth man. Isaiah Thomas was actually a sixth man before he got to Boston. And Isaiah Thomas, and he swindled me. My hand is raised. That's right. I've raised my hand in a room full of nobody. I thought Isaiah Thomas was going to be great. I thought Isaiah Thomas was better than what he was. I misevaluated Isaiah Thomas. But I also don't work for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, my job is not on the line. Like, me thinking Isaiah Thomas is as good as Kyrie Irving, like, that only makes me frustrated. And then, you know, I just change the TV. Like, I don't actually have to work with Dan Gilbert. So the fact that you were able to trade a bunch of just players. As a matter of fact, half the players they traded, aside from Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, that's off to the side. They sent Dwayne Wade to Miami because they were looking out for him. It was like, yo, dude, look, you're not going to be able to play. So if you want to stay, hang out with your boy, you can stay. Or you can go to Miami with your wife and your kids. And he was like, cool, I'll go to Miami. So they traded Dwayne Wade for like a second round pick in the year 2024. Like the Cavs are never seeing that pick. 2024? Like, by that time, Quincy Jones, he'll have another article coming out. So Dwayne Wade's off to the side. But the guys, they didn't trade one start. And Derrick Rose, they bought out his contract. He's been bought out. He's not going to play there. Shannon Frye, I mean, he could get a buyout. So they've traded play. They ain't even going to play. They're not even going to play for the team they went to. And they managed to get not even just role players, but they managed to get people that will fit a little bit better. And young guys. Young guys. They had the oldest team in the league. And in one day, my man Kobe Altman, the GM, they pat the man on the back, man. You made chicken soup out of chicken bleep. You sold ice to an Eskimo. You sold fire in hell. Kobe Altman, man. I mean, the gangster is strong up in him. And I had no clue. And David Griffin, man. By the way, Kobe Altman, make sure you keep your resume updated because you'll be fired in like 3 years. It's just the way Dan Gilbert rolls. But he managed to flip that. That team, that old broken down roster that was giving up 150 points in the young guys. Not even that. Young guys he has control over. Young guys that he has on rookie contracts. You traded people that weren't going to play into guys on, which means when and if, more like when, LeBron James leaves this team, everybody that's left behind, except for, you know, JR and Tristan, is going to be under control and can actually contribute at the NBA level. And JR is going to be the dude did a fantastic job. And they kept the Brooklyn pick. So they still kept the pick that everybody wanted. And they were able to trade away the stuff they didn't want into players that'll be with the team. And if LeBron stays, they can then flip those players or the pick to keep more players for LeBron. Like, they did something that honestly is incredible. I mean, incredible. Like, extremely risky, and it's possible because, number one, you got LeBron, so LeBron was not going to allow you. Another player may have played as hard as they could, Kobe. Kobe would have played as hard as he could and just cursed everybody out, and they had to win games. LeBron did not want to play, which was what the whole podcast that got deleted was about. LeBron didn't want to play, man. That's the bottom line. LeBron did not want to play, period. You're losing to the Orlando Magic. You're up by 21 and you lose to the Orlando Magic by 18. Like, how is that possible? That's not even math. You lose to the Magic by 18. You're up by 21. Second half, you score like 2 points, no rebounds, no assists. Like, you're LeBron James. How is that possible? And then it just so happened last night they played Atlanta, a horrible team. And you're thinking Atlanta is horrible, Courtney. Why are you bringing up Atlanta? You want to know why? Because they lost to the Orlando Magic industry. They lost to Detroit after they traded away. Detroit had six players. when they traded away their team, they lost to Detroit. You know what I mean? They lost to Detroit. They got, they gave up 150 to Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma City team who just lost to the Lakers, albeit injured, but they lost to, gave up a buck 50 on national TV. Houston Rockets, dude, just what did they give up? I think they gave up like a franchise record level of points to the Houston bleeping Rockets, dude, national TV. Every time they were on national TV, they lost. You want to know why? Because LeBron James was strong-arming the Cleveland Cavaliers into trading everybody the way they did. He could not allow that team to win if he wanted to win. That is a conundrum. He couldn't allow that team to win games because Dan Gilbert been like, oh, this team's good enough. Nah, dude. He couldn't allow them to win so they would make moves. And what did they do? They made moves. And what did he do? Yesterday they played the Atlanta Hawks, 19 assists. 19. He went for a triple-double last night, 19 assists, career high in assists. And 3 games ago, you had 0 assists in the fourth quarter. Like, how is that possible? So you want me to believe you were trying when you had 0 assists? By the way, the same game, I think Isaiah Thomas went like 0 for 6 in the fourth, and Derrick Rose went 0 for 5, and somebody else went 0 for. All guys they traded and got stuff back. LeBron James wasn't trying. So this trade was a no-brainer, and they lost the Kyrie trade. As of right now we speak, they have lost the Kyrie trade. But what are you going to do? You lost the Kyrie trade. Wait, you can sit there and think, oh, we lost and the season's over. Or you can say, look, scrap it. Scrap it. We got 2, maybe 3 months left. What is it? February, March, April, May, June. We got 3, maybe 4 months left of LeBron James, like, in Cleveland. That's what you have. You got the second greatest player in the league, in the history of the NBA, and arguably the first. Like, ever top 5 player in your uniform for at least 3 or 4 more months. That's what you got. We were wrong. Scrap it. Bring in guys and let's see what happens. Anything would have been better than what they had. Literally anything. They weren't going to win the way they were, but Cavaliers were able to sell ice to an Eskimo, man. Kobe Altman balling. I don't know how you trade Derrick Rose for anything. How do you trade Derrick Rose for anything? Like Rodney Hood, who I actually really, really like. He's been on my fantasy team like 3 years in a row. He gets injured all the time, so he's never actually going to play. He's like new Larry Hughes. He can ball, but he never plays. But it's like 6'8", and he can play defense and offense. You got him for Derrick Rose? On a rookie contract, by the way. A restricted free agent on a rookie contract. Like, he's making no money, and you traded him for Derrick Rose. Isaiah Thomas, bum hip, not playing well, whole nine. And Shannon Fry, who I love, Shannon Fry Shumpert, man, love you guys. They traded IT and Shannon Fry, who's never going to play, to the Lakers. Now, granted, they gave him a first-round pick, the Cavs pick. But they end up getting Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson. Larry Nance, rookie deal. Rookie deal. Why would you give them anything? Like, I mean, honestly, I'm a Cavs fan. Why would you give the Cavs anything for that? Why? And George Hill is pretty much an even swap, but did a fantastic job. And now, to get back to the argument from the last podcast, which got deleted, and I'm going to keep referring to it as the podcast that got deleted until Zoom hit me up on the phone. I got 2 phones, one for the plug, one for the load. Hit me on one of them. Tomorrow night, the Cavaliers play the Boston Celtics. Or tomorrow, primetime, 3:30 Eastern time, 12:30 Pacific. I'm just trying to let y'all know. I don't work for ESPN, but I'm just trying to let y'all know where it's at. They're going to beat Boston by 15. You heard it here first. If you think LeBron James was trying, like, this is going to be the, hey, I'm trying now. This is the same guy for the first 2 months of the season. He was the MVP of the league. All of a sudden, he has 0 assists and 0 rebounds in the fourth quarter. 0. Then he comes back and has 19. Like, that's just not possible. 0. Worst plus minus in the league. And Isaiah Thomas plays in the same league. the worst. Okay? They're going to beat Boston by 15. Because LeBron James, that's the thing about the trade, because not only do you bring in guys, you also bring in an engaged LeBron James that thinks, hey, we could go to the finals and let's see what happens. Cavs are a much younger team now. They're going to be able to play. And I think one thing is this could go one. This can only go good. Like, they're going to go to the finals, and they may get blown out. They may lose. It may get swept, the whole nine. And, I mean, that's good in the sense that you got to the finals. It's bad in the sense that, like, you didn't win the finals. But long-term, these are young dudes. Young dudes with energy that can actually play basketball. So this is the type of team, I mean, knock on wood, and I'm a fan, but this is the type of team where, like, you look out there and you say, oh, the Milwaukee Bucks. They don't have Antetokounmpo, don't get me wrong. But you think of a young team outside of that long athletic, and be like, oh, dude. Or you think about the 76ers. Or you think about a team like, Utah at one point, right? When you have Gordon Hayward and you have Rodney Hood and you got Rudy Gobert. Think about a team like that. Or you think about Young Bucks. When Minnesota, but they don't have anybody as good. But you think about the Young Buck team. I watched the Chicago Bulls last night. I was like, okay, cool. I see what they're cooking up here. I mean, you know, mix up dope using the AK. They have that. They got some young dudes. Young dudes. So even if this season goes bad, like, they've set themselves up for the future, and they still have the Brooklyn pick. And they still have Kevin Love. Like, they still have stuff. So when and if LeBron James leaves this season, the Cavaliers are actually in a pretty decent position. And I'm a Cavs fan. I'm going to watch the team whether they're good or bad. But as far as, like, nationally, like, it's not going to be like when he left the Heat. Now, of course, Bosch got sick, which that sucks. But what is it? He left a year, 2 years after he leaves the Heat? There's no Bosch, there's no Dwayne Wade, and you're overpaying Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters. It's Goran Dragic. Like, it ain't going to be that. It ain't going to be that. The first time he left the Cavaliers, is old, broken down Antoine Jameson, Wally Szczerbiak, Shaquille O'Neal retires, and that's a bad thing. I mean, and then they're left with nothing. This time, they're going to be left with young dudes that can play, a GM that's a straight-up gangster, and Brooklyn's number one pick. Like, they're almost like Boston. Knock on wood. They ain't got Jason Tatum, but Jason Tatum could be their Brooklyn pick. Like, let's be honest. And they ain't got Kyrie. I mean, we already know what happened there. But they're damn near like Boston, dude. Boston before they got Kyrie. Like, that is what the Cavs are if LeBron leaves. And that's a great thing, man. Salute to Kobe Altman, man, but the trades were great. No one else really did anything in the league. I thought to myself, when's the last time, like, somebody did this where they, like, just gave up and traded, like, everybody at the trade deadline? And then it hit me. Oh, the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers did the same thing in, like, 2007. I think it was, like, the year LeBron left. I mean, do you think similarities? Nah. But yeah, I think they did. No, it was the year before he left. But I think they did the same thing because they traded. That's when they got, like, Antoine Jameson and Wally Szczerbiak, and they got Delonte West. Oh, Delonte West. And did they get Mo Williams? They just got a bunch of stuff, man. I remember that year they traded a bunch of guys, and they traded a bunch of guys. So, like, a couple years ago, but it wasn't at the deadline, but they traded a bunch of guys like a couple years ago. So they've done it before. And I do think they're going to the finals. And, you know, part of me, I'm a fan, but part of me thinks they actually have a better shot than they did last year. And I actually, you know what, I'll talk about that and we'll close the show. Please, tonight, check me out at Naked City Brewery. It's going to be a great show. 85th and Greenwood, by the way. Tickets on sale at standupstyle.brownpapertickets.com. I actually think they have a better chance, you know, than they did last year. And it sucks to lose Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a great player. Like, let's not get it twisted. Kyrie Irving is an all-star. He's an all-NBA player. Better than that. Like, depending on how his career works out from here, like, Kyrie Irving could be a Hall of Famer. Like, a Hall of Fame player. So that sucks. Losing that sucks. But last year they had Kyrie Irving. They won one game. Like, let's be honest about what they saw. Like, Golden State has changed the math of the entire NBA. This year could possibly be different just because Golden State looks like they're slipping a little bit. But it's not like Kyrie Irving was a lockdown defender either. Like, the problems they had when they had Kyrie Irving would still be the problems they have right now. It just wouldn't be as dramatic. And Kyrie Irving would be pissed as well. So, they weren't going to beat Kyrie Irving anyways. They only won one game. They won one game last year. In the one game they won, they had to hit like 33 pointers. They won one game. So this year, if they go to the finals, they win one game. I mean, well, you won one with him, you won one without. Like, it's not like they were winning the title with Kyrie. So, you know, as my man Ice Cube say, shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them, man. They shook them up. And they did bounce back from the horrible Isaiah Thomas trade, and Isaiah Thomas had to get out. And I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas, man. I really do. Even though sports hate, he's the most hated player in the history of my sports rooting interest. Like, I just did not like him. And John Rocker used to play for the Indians. I just did not like him, man. He just talked too much. I did not want to hear that dude. Somebody said it, I think, on SportsCenter. He had more sound bites for the Cavaliers in 2 months than he had in the whole time he was in Boston. The whole time. Just talking way too much about and ripping the coaching and didn't like LeBron. And I get it, dude. But as Jalen Rose said, hey, man, be professional. The dude was unprofessional. Just unprofessional. But it sucks because he's injured. And the truth is, like, Isaiah Thomas should be healthy. Isaiah Thomas had his career derailed by the Boston Celtics. Isaiah Thomas should be able to sue the Boston Celtics for medical malpractice. And I'm not even joking. He should be able to sue them. They lost that dude like $80 million. He wouldn't be worth it. But Nicholas Batum makes $130 million. Like, Tristan Thompson is on an $80 million contract. Like, that dude was going to just missed out on $80 million. Isaiah Thomas went from top five MVP candidate, like on his way to possibly getting like a max contract, to a dude that's backing up Lonzo Ball. Like that. Not even a season. Not even a season. Like 3 months, half a season. Bang. You're on your third team in a year and you're backing up Lonzo Ball. Going on your fourth team, by the way, this offseason. And you were that close to being a max player. You get your injury messed up and they fired the whole training staff. So I'm not speaking out of pocket. Like, I'm not getting jammed up. You fire your training staff and this dude has a hip problem that if he loses a little bit of his athleticism, like, he's done. Like, I could stay in front of Isaiah Thomas if he loses. I mean, dude, he's 5'6". Like, you cannot afford to lose athleticism. LeBron can lose athleticism. Shaq had foot surgery after foot surgery. Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Arvydas Sabonis. Like, big dudes, you can lose some athleticism. You can be a stiff. Patrick Ewing. Bernard King. Like, you can be a stiff. You can't be a little dude with injuries. Like, if Avery Johnson had pulled an Achilles, we wouldn't even know who he was. Little dudes can't be an injured like that. And I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas, even though I didn't want him on the team. I feel bad, man, because that dude's career has, like, been completely, irrevocably harmed. His career by the Boston Celtics and the way his injury was, at least the way he was taken care of. He playing on a torn labrum and... who knows? Doesn't look like he may not ever be the same. May not ever be the same. And for that, I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas. And I hope he does well. I wish him a speedy recovery. I just don't want him recovering in my uniform. Like, you know, pick another team. Don't pick. I'll root for you if you play for Memphis. But if you put on a Cavs jersey again, I'm telling you, I don't want you here. But that's it. All right, let's wrap up the show. Thank you for tuning in to the Last Show Podcast. Subscribe, leave a review, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. Also, check out my new comedy album, To Whom It Doesn't Concern. You can check it out on Tidal. That's right, me and Hov, we back on good terms. We on speaking terms. You can check it out on Tidal. You can get it at the Apple Music Store, Amazon, everywhere you can get CDs. Follow me on Spotify. Please, please, please. Somebody hit me up and was like, yo, I found out you're performing in Seattle on Spotify, man. I got an email. I'll see you. And I was like, I will see you too. Thank you. So subscribe to me on Spotify. That's K Shane Comedy. On Instagram and Twitter, at Courtney Shane, K-R-T-N-E-Y, Shane. Please have a great weekend. Be safe. And watch the Cavs beat the Boston Celtics by 15. Or watch them get blown out by 40. Like, one or the other is going to happen. Slash your podcast. Take it easy. Peace.
Go home! Go home! Go home!
I don't have to take this. I'm going home.
It didn't work out, but don't ever doubt how
what do you know from funny, you bastard?
Till next time, take care of yourself and each other.
Hasta luego.